All right, well, welcome everyone. My name's Chris Martinez, and that beautiful woman there is my wife. And we moved here to Plant Lakeside Church, and we're so happy that you guys are here. And we just are thrilled to be a part of what God is doing here in Lexington. We are talking about walking in the Spirit. It's a sermon series that kind of God placed in my heart. And so in your bulletin insert, there is a little sermon notes. You can grab that out. It has a scripture on it, and you can follow along with what God is hopefully saying to us today. So let's go into that. First of all, last week we talked about the W, like wonder. Wonder. The Holy Spirit leads us into a life of wonder. If you serve a God that you can fully understand, then you're probably not serving the real God, because he is bigger and greater than we could ever understand. And that is that's a huge part of it. So we wonder sometimes, like, why even talk about the Holy Spirit? Why should we? Aren't we a Jesus church? I mean, we want to be Jesus-centered. I mean, that's what I am. I'm a Jesus guy. But the truth is that from his conception, when the Holy Spirit conceived Jesus Christ, up until his resurrection, when the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit was intimately involved with Christ. He empowered him for ministry. And if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, then I think probably we do too. And today we're, the other week we talked about the adventure. If following Jesus is an adventure, if it's not, you're doing it wrong, because he always leads us into greater, more wonderful, amazing things. And so we talked a little bit about that. And today we're going to talk about the L, which is life. The Holy Spirit comes to bring life into our lives and into our hearts. And so we have a scripture over there that we're going to go through. It is in your sermon guide. It is out of the book of John. It's the story of the woman at the well. And just a little background, Jesus is walking with his disciples, and he decides to go through Samaria. Samaria was a place that Jews did not go. They didn't get along with Samaritans. Samaritans didn't get along with them. They were kind of like cousins. They were really close in their history, but they didn't like each other. And Jesus is led to this place, and he sits down at a well, and it's the middle of the day. And verse 7, you can follow along. John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews and Samaritans have no dealings.' Verse 10, Jesus answered and said, 'If you knew the gift of God, who is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' The woman said, 'Sir, we have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do we get that living water? Are you greater than our father, Jacob? Because everyone who drank of that water, himself and his sons and livestock, they all died.' But Jesus said, 'Whoever drinks of that water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. And the water that I give him will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life.' The woman said, 'Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty and have to come here to draw water.'" Now, the first point is Jesus is the source of life. Jesus is the source of life. Like, he is where all life flows from. The scripture said, if we remain in him and he in us, like, we'll bear much fruit. And it's all about being connected to Jesus. And we do that through his Spirit, which he has given us, and this idea of living water that comes and brings life to us. That word life is the word zeo, which means to be alive physically, to regain health, to maintain health, to live in the glory of the life to come, to be full of vitality, to be lively, to be life productive and life giving. Jesus comes to give life, and he is the source of life. Like, that's where it all comes from. But what he does to reach us is he gives us the Holy Spirit to bring life into our bodies, into our souls, into everything we are. That is what the Holy Spirit does. But Jesus is the life. He's the source. And so the Spirit isn't anything separate, but it's intricately related to the work that Christ wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. And the second point on there is this life reaches our greatest need. Like, Jesus comes and he really does reach the greatest needs we have. Like, it reaches everything. In John chapter 7, a few chapters later, there's a feast, a festival, and the festival would end. It was a Jewish festival, and it would end as they would pour water out on the altar. And Jesus, during the middle of this festival, he stands up and says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." See, Jesus is the source of life, but he gives the Holy Spirit to us, and this life reaches our greatest need. There was an article with all the rains that have been happening in California that the desert has begun to bloom. And there's all these images. In fact, we're going to look at some of them now. And you see that this desert, which was dry and which was empty, it had seeds within, but it was dead. It was dry. And water comes and it brings life. It brings life to the desert as these beautiful flowers begin to sprout and begin to grow and then bloom because they were already in the ground. And Jesus bought us and we were barren ground. We were without life in us, but the seed of God's word comes into us, and the water of God's spirit comes, and it brings life. This idea of living water is this idea of water that moves, that flows, that is constantly moving and renewing, not stagnant water. There's a big difference between a flowing river and a stagnant pond. It's not just water, but it's a type of water that we receive. We receive living water, moving, lively water that flows into us and then flows through us. In the place of Missouri where we lived, it was so different. It was a lot of different, unique topography and land. And there was this one place called Big Springs where you could really go and people would go to this area and the spring would come right out of the bottom of a mountain. And you go down in this little valley type area and there'd just be water gushing out of this mountain as if from nowhere, but the water was deep within. And it would start there and it would get hot. But you go down by this river and it's cold and it's cool and it's crystal clear and the water just flows out into these rivers and people would go floating down these rivers and get cooled off and life would come. And that's what the Word of God does. That's what Jesus does in us. That's what the Spirit of God comes to bring inside of us, this life. This light reaches our greatest need. And there's some areas in our lives that are just like that desert, that they're dead. It might be a relationship that is dead. Well, the living water of God's Spirit can bring life to that relationship. It may be just a weak area in our lives where we're dead, where we're dry, where we're feeling empty. But that life comes and it flows into us and it flows through us and it makes us alive on the inside. That's what Jesus did. He said he came to bring life and life more abundantly. And the third point on there, and I want you to look up on in your sermon notes, is this is a life-giving spring, and it never dries up. It never dries up. Like, it never ends. It doesn't have to end. Like it flows through you constantly. And that's why the word filled, be filled with the Spirit, is this active word. It's not just one-time event. It's this constant daily infilling of God's Spirit where he brings life even to the driest place, even to the darkest place. And guys, we need God's life. We need God's grace coming from within us, and we need his Spirit moving and transforming us. And so Jesus said to the woman, he said, "If you would ask me, I would give you a drink. I would give you this." You know, right here in this story, Jesus is crossing barriers. In John 3, he meets with Nicodemus. We know, remember the whole thing where he says, you can't even see the kingdom of God unless you're born again by the Spirit. Well, Nicodemus was a religious leader. He was part of the in crowd. He was a man. And Jesus met with him and talked to him about the Spirit. Well, Jesus crosses barriers here and he goes to the almost the exact opposite type of person. He goes to the Samaritan woman who was a Samaritan. He didn't talk to Samaritans. He didn't deal with Samaritans. But Jesus had life within himself and he went into a dry area where many Jews would be held back. Jesus was not held back because the life of God's Spirit was driving him. And then he talks to a woman. Back then, women didn't have the same legal rights. They didn't have the same social rights. It was different. A man wouldn't talk to a woman. And here Jesus is crossing this to this woman who is untrained. And then she was probably an outcast. We read later on that she had several husbands. So there were people in the city, or several men that she was with. Men. Several guys. And so the people in the city, they probably didn't like her. There were probably some men that didn't like her because they had a past. And there was probably some women who didn't like her because of her past. Because they were probably with some of their men. She was probably with some of their men. But here she is out in the middle of the day. You didn't go at the middle of the day to draw water. It's a whole different world. I mean, we can go at almost at any time and go and turn on the water in our house and it will come on and it'll flow. But think about a life where you had to go and schedule a time to go collect water. We went through Hurricane Andrew growing up and I remember what that was like when the water just didn't work for months. And you had to go and get bottled water and you got so thirsty and man, you just would drink anything and go to any lengths. We'd wait an hour sometimes at the National Guard just to get ice, just to cool off, just to get some water, just to get some hydration. And that's what she did. She had to go. She needed water, but she couldn't go with anybody else. And she's sitting there all alone, a moral outcast, a woman, a Samaritan, untrained. And Jesus crosses the barriers and he goes, I'll give you this water. I'll give you this life. I'll give you this freshness and it'll come from within you and begin to transform who you are, the life of God. That's what God does, is he brings life into us. Jesus is the source of this life. This life goes to our deepest needs. It never ends. It's like a well which never dries up. And then this life is life-giving. So what does that mean? It's like, it's not just for you. It's for everyone. Like this life comes into us, it transforms us, and it makes us life-giving. My father, he bought some property, and he cleared the pine trees there. And he wanted grass. And so he did two things. He put seed down, and then he gave water to that seed. And really, that's all that he did, is he just put water in. So now there's grass there. It's beautiful. It's green. It's lush. And it came right out of the ground, but it needs constant water. He put these sprinklers in different parts of the yard, and we know how hot it gets, and the grass gets burned up. But the water brings life. And we should be life-giving. This life is life-giving. So not only should we just be like receptacles, it's not just all about us and what Jesus wants to do in us, although that is great and that is important. And thank God he wants to do that in us. But it is also life-giving. We should be like sprinklers. We should go into our workplaces and be life-giving sprinklers of God's Spirit, where the stuff that God is doing inside of us, it starts to affect the people that are around us. Jesus said, by our love, they would know that we're his disciples. And they would know that he came from God. By our unity, by the life that we bring. I mean, there are some people that are like vampires. They just suck the life out of you. Get around them and their problems and their issues and their outlook and their negativity. And it just drains you and it sucks the life right out of your soul. And you're like, oh my gosh, I do not want to be around this person anymore. But there's some people, and may we be those people, that you get around them and you feel better. You're happier. You have more joy. You have more peace. Their life isn't perfect. Their circumstances are just like yours. They might be going through a thing, a period of cancer or an issue in their family, but they have life because their life does not come from the world. It comes from what's within them. And so it doesn't matter what's going on around them. It matters what's flowing through them. Just like that hose that is connected to the sprinkler. The sprinkler is just sitting out there in the air. There's no water except from where the hose, it comes deep from within the ground or from a well or from the city. But this water begins to flow and then it begins to splash everything. And things begin to grow. It's amazing what this life does. And it's living water. It's moving water. It's pushing through us. And that's what I want you to know, is that it does this, but we have to be thirsty. There's one place in the scripture where, apart from here, Jesus is thirsty, so he wants a drink from this woman, from this Samaritan woman, and he goes to her, hey, give me a drink, because he's thirsty. But there's another place in the scripture where Jesus specifically says, I'm thirsty, I thirst. And that word thirst, Obviously, it means, hey, can I have some liquid? Can I get some water? In that hurricane, when we had the hurricane, you don't know thirst until you are drinking warm grape soda and loving everything about it. Warm, right out the can, hot, nasty grape soda, but you're thirsty, so you grab it and it tastes good. Right now, I have access to all kinds of different drinks. I can go to my refrigerator or go to a restaurant, but when you don't have anything, anything will taste good. And this idea of being thirsty is not only is it a strong desire for liquid where you would drink anything, but it's a strong desire to attain some goal. Like, I'm thirsty. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who have a desire for this goal, who are hungry for what God is doing. We have to be thirsty for God. We have to stay thirsty. We have to want what God has for us. We have to have a desire. Jesus on the cross, he had a desire to bring reconciliation between God and man. He hoped that his death, the blood that he shed, the life that came out, for life is in the blood, that it would come out and bring reconciliation between God and man. He had a desire to attain a goal, and we have to have a desire to be life-giving, to have our greatest needs met, to connect with Jesus, the source of all life. We have to be thirsty, and when we're thirsty, he won't leave us thirsty. He won't leave us thirsty. And so the whole point of walking in the Spirit is that we would be filled. Yes, it would be a life of wonder where we don't know what God is doing, but we trust him and we follow him. And yes, it's an adventure. And every day following Jesus should be an adventure, but it's probably going to be hard. It's probably not going to be easy. There's probably a path he has, a goal he has for you. And on that path, you get thirsty. The longer you travel, the more liquid you should bring. It's almost impossible for us to understand the importance of water because it's so readily accessible. We can go anywhere and drink the water. For us, the decision is not do we have water, but do we drink water from the tap, or do we pay a dollar for a bottle of water or $1.50? Do we need smart water or vitamin water or flavored water? Like, we have so many different waters to choose from. The problem is not do we have it, but which one do we get to pick? But there is only one water, and that's the living water of Jesus Christ that will never dry up, that will go to our deepest needs. And I know that without it, we are dry. And we need to admit when we're dry, and we need to admit when we're thirsty. Jesus bought us as a barren field, and he planted the seed of his word inside of us, the seed of the gospel. And the word, the water of the Spirit, the living water of the Spirit, brings life to that seed. And so I just know that there are people here right now listening to this and sitting here today that you are thirsty, that you're dry. There's an area in your life that's dry. There's a relationship that's dry. There might be depression. There might be just frustration. There might be anger. You might be dry at work, unsatisfied in your vocation. Like, that's okay. But you can be in any situation and have life when the Holy Spirit is flowing into you and through you. And not only will you have life in those situations, but you can bring life back to those relationships. God can work in you and then work through you to be life-giving, like a sprinkler, just splashing away and causing good to grow, like those desert flowers, just growing in the middle of nowhere in a land that was dry and barren. God's Spirit can do that in you right now. And I just know there's some people here, you're listening, and you have a dry and you have a barren area in your life. And I challenge you to come to Jesus Christ, to the one whose blood was shed and who sent the Spirit for you, the source of living water. And just let it reach your deepest needs. In fact, the book of Revelation talks about at the end there will be at the center of the throne, the Lamb will be their shepherd. This is chapter 7, verse 17. And he will lead them to springs of living water. Shepherds always lead their flocks to living water because their flocks get thirsty and they need to drink. And that in Revelation 22, 2, it says, there's a river of life. And on each side, there were trees bearing fruit. And the leaves of those trees are for the healing of the nations. They're life-giving, and that's what Christ wants to do for every single one of us. But we can't be life-giving if we don't have life in us. We can't give something we've never received, and we receive it by allowing God's Spirit to work in us and work through us. I'm going to invite the worship team up now, and we're going to pray. And I'm going to invite anyone that might have a desire to stop being dry, to might have a desire for this living water. I think God can do it right now. I think He's able. I think He's big enough. Would you guys pray with me?